From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of June, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson from TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing, an elevator right here in Champaign County. Teresa Steckler will join us from University of Illinois Extension to discuss the Asian longhorn tick, Tularia, and beef cattle herds in the state. The stick can cause a 20 to 25% fatality rate in a herd, and farmers will want to know how to protect their animals from the disease. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast too. We'll do that with True Learner at World Weather Incorporated on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn for the day settled at 4.33 and a half, up 2 cents. September, 5 1/4 higher. It settled at $4.29. And December, up 5 1/4 as well, to settle at $4.44. July soybeans at 10.74 and 3/4, 3/4 higher. August, up a half at 10.76 and 3/4. New crop November at 10.68 and 1/4, a half cent higher. Bean meal futures 20 cents lower. The bean oil 2 cents lower, and soft red winter wheat up 25 1/4 at 5.74 1/4 for the day. The hard red in the July finished at 5.71 1/4. It was up 23 1/2 cents today. Greg Johnson from TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, an elevator that belongs to FS Growmark, now joins us. He is in Champaign County. Hello, Greg. Thank you so much for being with us. I'd ask you if you're getting calls today about this rally in the corn market. Don't know whether that call was for to make a sale or not. It seems unlikely, but you are getting calls, and I know farmers probably are really beginning to get a little worried about this marketplace. As we've made it almost 2/3 of the way through the month of June now. What can you tell us as you see the marketplace today?
You're right. It's been extremely slow in the corn selling on the corn selling side. Farmers have done a little bit better job, or maybe better, but had done more selling on soybeans, old crop soybeans, and new crop soybeans on this rally. Even with the 6 cent rally today, July corn is basically 6 cents off of the lows. We've been July corn's been as low as 4.30 and as high as 5.20, and today we're right around 4.36. So yesterday we were basically on the low. So the 6 cent rally sounds nice, and it is, but it's not enough to get farmers interested in selling anything. We've got the whole pollination growing season ahead of us, and even though things look good today, there's more rain in the forecast this week, so we're not looking for a big rally based on weather anytime soon, but we still have a ways to go. And the interesting part is that the old crop corn is what suffered. New crop corn, you know, we were sitting on our lows, but we haven't had the drop off in new crop corn prices. December corn got up to 480 back in January, February, and we've been as low as 440, but that's only a 40 cent drop from the highs in February. Whereas corn, that 520, we're down to 430. That was a 90 cent drop in corn. So, like I say, with a 5 or 6 cent rally today, it's nice, but that just doesn't make up for what we've lost in old crop corn. And the new crop corn is just at the lower end of the range. Soybeans, on the other hand, we've been anywhere from $10 to $11 on July futures, and we're at 10.78 today. So towards the upper end, towards the high of the market, and farmers realize that, and so they're a little bit more willing to reward this rally and sell beans. New crop beans have been anywhere from 9.75 to 10.75 this year on the board, and they're at 10.70 today. So again, right near the high. So it makes a little bit more sense for farmers to sell beans than it does on corn. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
Let's talk a little about convergence of old and new crop corn. Generally, what happens is you'll converge one way or the other. And it can be, especially in good growing years, convergence towards the new crop. However, the ending stocks number for new crop continues just to get tighter And it's surprising, I think, that old crop hasn't played more of a role on this, especially as exports have been pretty darn good this year, at least, for the last 6 months.
You're right. 2 months ago, we had a 40-cent inverse. July corn was trading 40 cents higher than the new crop December contract. Today, we've lost all of that 40-cent inverse. And in fact, December corn is trading about 12 to 13 cents more than July corn. So we've gone from a 40 cent inverse to about a 13 cent carry. That's over 50 cents that we've lost out of the old crop, new crop spread. And like you say, that it kind of goes against common sense because the ending stocks numbers keeps getting lower. The weekly export numbers continue to impress and be above expectations. But the funds have been sellers. They must have their own reasons. They think the South American crop might give us a buffer between the old crop and the new crop. Whatever the reason, the funds have been selling corn, and we've kind of taken away the big premium. So the convergence has already happened. And, you know, do we go back to a slight inverse or do we continue to just stay at this carry throughout the growing season? And I guess we'll have to wait and see. Your common sense or the law of supply and demand would say we might get one more chance to see this old crop gain on new crop, but not in the last several weeks anyway.
So what are the things you're watching today? What makes a difference fundamentally in the marketplace? Could be the Iran-Iraq war, could be Russia-Ukraine, crude oil, ethanol, livestock numbers. We have at the end of this week another set of numbers on cattle. What's important to you today?
Well, from a soybean point of view, the renewable biodiesel mandate was huge. You know, we've seen soybean oil go up 24% this year, mainly as a result of the mandate. And that's the good news. The problem is when you crush a bushel of soybeans, 80% of that is soybean meal and only 20% is oil. So the old rule of thumb is you can't crush soybeans for the oil. You have to crush it for the meal. So with that 24-cent rally in oil prices, at the same time, we've seen soybean meal prices drop 11% this year, and beans have been stuck in the middle. Beans are up 3% for the year. So basically, beans are unchanged while the oil has really increased in price. The meal has really declined in price, and that makes sense because we have to get the low price of meal low enough to compete with Argentine soybean meal exports, and that's exactly what's going on right now. So, you know, that's what we're watching on, you know, and the mandate was a proposal from the EPA. There's a 60-day comment period, and then there's hearings on July 8th. So, you know, that's not a done deal. If it stays as is, it's certainly friendly, supportive to soybeans, but things can have a way of changing during this comment period. So we'll have to wait and see on that. And as far as corn is concerned, really, it kind of boils down to the weather. Maybe we can get some support if crude oil prices go up. Corn and crude oil kind of have a correlation there. So maybe corn could pick up a little bit of strength. But the bottom line is, you know, with 95 million acres of corn, if the government doesn't change that on the June 30th acreage report by very much, I think traders are kind of thinking that we're off to a good start in most places, you know, excluding southern Illinois, southern Indiana, southern Ohio, and Kentucky. But the big areas are off to a good start. And if we can maintain that, we'll have enough corn, and that just doesn't get them excited. So we really need a weather related scare, concern, forecast, something to get the corn market excited. And it, you know, the good news is we're only 40 cents off the high in new crop corn. So a weather scare, you know, 20, 25 cents sounds like a lot today, but it really isn't. And historically, we typically see 40 to 50 cent rallies from the low during the summer. We haven't seen that yet, so, but that's still a possibility. So I think we've got weather to look at from the corn point of view, and from the soybean point of view, it's basically trade policies and tariffs and government mandates is what will be moving this market.
Will the end of the month quarterly grain stocks figure be important? And I mean, by that, I mean, do you think it will reflect something that the marketplace isn't expecting?
Well, I think it just reinforces the tightness, like you mentioned, on old crop corn stocks. You know, we're looking for exports in the July report to be increased again, because every week here lately, we've exceeded what we need to meet the USDA's target. So it wouldn't be surprising to see exports bounce up another 50 million bushels. And that would cut the ending stocks by another 50 million bushels in the July report. So, yeah, the June 30th stocks report should just reinforce what we've seen for several months now, is that, you know, the old crop demand is continuing to be good, and that dwindles the old crop supply. So things are tight, but nobody seems to be too worried about it today.
Thank you much, Greg. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Cattle producers need to be aware that the Asian longhorn tick has arrived in Van Buren County, Iowa, in the southeastern part of that state. This is particularly an issue as the tick carries a disease called Tularemia and can be catastrophic once a herd is infected.
There have been reports from veterinarians that up to 20-25% of your herd could be lost to this particular disease.
That's Teresa Steckler. She's a beef cattle educator for University of Illinois Extension. She says Tularemia and the Asian longhorn tick have been mostly confined to the East Coast to this point, but is cautioning farmers across the state of Illinois to be on the lookout for both.
The big thing about this is looking for the ticks. The ticks are a carrier of this. And there are many, many animals that will transport or move these ticks from site to site. Many of our bird species, they have recently found that bald eagles will have the ticks on them, owls as well, wrens, so, and many mammal species, including white-tailed deer, all kinds of different species, raccoons. Producers need to be aware, and they need to be vigilant about looking for this particular tick. It's highly recommended that you guys, or that farmers, take a bat wing and mow at least once around the periphery of their pastures. That'll create an area that's dry to help keep the ticks at bay if they're in the wooded areas next to your pastures. Keep feeds and stuff picked up. Don't encourage raccoons any more than necessary and other wildlife animals to come up onto the farm. The ticks will generally cluster in areas in the flanks, on the head, necks. They will. You'll just see huge clusters of ticks. If anybody is aware of huge clusters of ticks on their livestock, they need to contact their vet or take samples into their vet immediately so they can be ID'd, and then we can work with the livestock producers.
Are there other recommendations you make as it's related to the Asian longhorn tick and the disease?
One of the big recommendations that we are making is that if you bring any livestock in to your farm, especially from states that have the tick, you need to quarantine these animals, and you need to treat them, pour them based on their weight. Don't judge them based on your eye. Get a good weight on these animals and pour them appropriately. Work with your herd veterinarian on a product for your herd, and quarantine these animals for at least 3 weeks. Check these animals regularly and make sure you don't see any large tick populations, you know, swelling ticks on these lives, on the new livestock. Also, this traditionally, since a lot of guys that row crop also have livestock, the guys that put their cattle out to pasture need to go out and monitor those ticks on a weekly basis. These ticks can overwhelm our livestock pretty quickly in tick infested areas. So it's very important that you pour these animals before you turn them out and also monitor them.
That's Teresa Steckler. She is a beef cattle educator with University of Illinois Extension. Let's check the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Drew Lerner is here now. He's with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Hello, Drew. Thanks for being with us today. We have lots of ground to cover. However, I'd like to really start with growing degree days. They had lagged behind. It looks like we're going to get some warm, maybe even hot weather over the weekend in parts of the Corn Belt.
Yeah, you know, it's exactly what the doctor ordered, and we will see some great benefit from the little mini heat wave that's going to occur. This begins tomorrow and continues on through the weekend in the plains and eventually in the heart of the Midwest, and eventually that will actually shift to the Atlantic coast states. We do expect temperatures to peak in the, we'll say, the middle two-thirds of the plains in the range of 95 to 100. Might be a little more than what folks would like to have. It's pretty stressful for livestock, and most of the crops will be okay because it's just a few days, but it will be stressful. And for those fields that do not have good moisture in the ground, there'll be a lot of leaf curl and a lot of concern about quick drying. So some of those areas out there in Nebraska, maybe a few counties in Iowa, but some areas in northern Kansas, those areas will be a little bit of a concern, even South Dakota for that matter. But it doesn't last long, like I said. In the heart of the Midwest, the highest temperatures will probably be 93 to 98, I would imagine. That occurs again over the weekend into Monday, maybe Tuesday in a couple of eastern Midwest locations. But the temperatures will relax a little bit as we go into next week. And we do have an opportunity for some showers and thunderstorms to occur behind this, because as the ridge progresses to the east, it'll be pulling moisture out of both the Gulf of Mexico and from Mexico itself, and that will likely bring moisture back across parts of the plains and into the heart of the Midwest. So a few days of stress and then some relief. And it's not going to be too bad, I think. The bottom line is, yes, there will be some improvement in degree day accumulations.
The best thing for a farmer out of that whole thing was that you said mini as it relates to the heat wave and then rainfall as it relates to after the fact. That doesn't sound terrible. The Canadian prairies, I'd like to check in on those as well. They have had years worth of drought. I think they've suffered again this year. Is there rain for them out of this as well?
Yes, it's some very long-awaited rain is expected to occur up that way. You're absolutely right. Some of the areas in the southwest corner of the prairies, that would be southwestern Saskatchewan, and some areas in south, I will say southern Alberta, are in, I think, their ninth year of notably below normal precipitation. They've managed to eke out crops periodically over the 8 to 9 year period, but it is pretty dry. And yes, there's already been some crops written off. Just recently, I understand the insurance folks are in the fields in some of that region. There will be significant rain coming up for Alberta. In fact, most of Alberta will get rain of significance, and the northwest and west central parts of Saskatchewan. All of this starts tomorrow and continues into Sunday, and there will be sufficient amounts of moisture to really bring crops around nicely, those that are still viable. We do not expect a lot of rain in the eastern part of the prairies, and there's some dry areas over there too, but they aren't as chronically dry as some of these areas in the southwest. So this is a good thing for them.
Let's stay in the northern hemisphere and check in on some of the other growing regions. Can you start in Western Europe first, please?
Yeah, you know, this is the time of the year that we see ridges of high pressure popping up. And not only do we have the one in the United States, but it looks like Western Europe is going to be seeing a rather frequent occurrence of ridginess over the western part of the continent. This will be over France and will impact parts of the UK and Germany. And many of the neighboring areas, and we will be seeing the temperatures bouncing around through the 80s and 90s. A couple of extremes over 100 will occur in France. France is actually the driest out of all the Western European nations right now. If you recall, about 2 weeks ago, Germany and the North Sea region were really hurting for moisture, and they did get rain. And France was a part of that. At least the dryness, but they did not get the rain that Germany got. And so France is now the driest area in the European continent. And with the forecast being what it is, there's going to be a lot of stress there in that country. And we will see a return of dryness in Germany and the UK as well.
And then turn your attention to China. Because of the trade implications of the tariff, and we don't like drought anywhere really across the planet, but if you're in the United States, you're kind of rooting for a drought in China in hopes that they will buy soybeans anyway.
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier in the year as it relates to drought, though I take it that's dissipated some at this point.
Well, it is in the process of dissipating somewhat, I guess. We keep talking about it, but it really, they haven't had a good general soaking rain yet. But in this coming week, in fact, today is the first day that we are supposed to be seeing significant rainfall. There will be two provinces, Henan and Shandong, which are very important production provinces. They'd be the equivalent of probably Illinois and Iowa. They will both get significant rain, probably 1 to 3 inch amounts. And this will be the greatest single rain event that they have seen most of the spring season. And so it should help tremendously in easing the drought in those two areas. There's still dryness to the west and dryness to the north, and some of that will prevail. But this will certainly knock down this drought in a fairly big way. And if they can get some follow-up rain, which I think they will, then maybe the worst is behind them, unfortunately.
Now, turn your attention to South America. I suppose we need to check in on wheat crops and planting seasons there in Australia and Argentina, Brazil.
Yeah, for Argentina, we're still dry in the west part of the country. The western wheat areas in Cordoba and portions of western Buenos Aires and La Pampa, they have a need for moisture. It's not a huge event. It's nowhere near as dry as it has been in past years. So it's a concern, but not a huge crisis. A little farther to the east, it's the other side of the coin. It's getting too wet now in Rio Grande do Sul. Since last Friday, I think some locations in southern Rio Grande have had more than 12 inches of rain. The forecast is for between 4 and 12 inches of additional rain from Rio Grande into Paraná as we go forward through the coming week to 10 days. It'll be spread out. It's not going to occur all at once, but it is getting too wet in these areas. For Rio Grande, they aren't getting their wheat crop planted, so that's the first issue. Paraná has a lot of wheat left to plant as well, but you also have that Safrina corn in parts of Paraná, and definitely there's a need for drier weather there so the crop can mature normally. You know, it was a few weeks ago we were concerned about it never raining there and hurting the crop. Now we're worried about it raining too much. So you never know what you're going to get when you talk to me.
And then Australia, please?
In Australia, the situation continues to be a little bit tenuous, although not a big serious crisis by any means. The planting season has been a little sluggish, to say the least. We didn't see much moisture in late April or May. It is raining now periodically in some of the wheat, barley, and canola areas in the south. But the moisture deficits are still fairly significant in some spots, and the crop is probably not as far along in the state as it ought to be. As we go forward through the next 10 days, we will get some moisture to fall in some of those areas, but it is going to continue to be a little bit lighter than usual. I think the bottom line is that they're going to be okay, but there's going to be a little concern about the crop getting through the winter season with it not being as well established as it should be.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
You bet. Have a good week.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world. Look us up, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org or search out the Closing Market Report in your favorite podcast applications. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.